26th, which is Tuesday, and we're working out a specific time on that. So it'll be somewhere in between 6 and 7, 6:30 and 7. So remember that on this 26th of this month. It'll be Calvary's Thanksgiving Dinner Fellowship. Looking forward to that. And, of course, there's a sign-up sheet down here in the front as far as items to bring and other things as well. Well, you glad you're saved tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And what a wonderful opportunity it is each and every time we come to the Lord's house to praise Him and bring Him glory and honor that He deserves. Let's take our Bibles tonight for a few moments and turn back to the book of Jude, New Testament book of Jude. I want to mention some things here tonight. I want to go in another direction as we were this morning. I do want to mention some things tonight that hopefully will be a help and a blessing to you as you live for the Lord. Again, happy Veterans, early Veterans Day to all those who have served our country. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we will bring about the message for tonight. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name, and we're so very thankful for who you are and for what you do in our lives. We pray for the next few moments, Lord, that you'd help us to rightly divide your word and to communicate it to the hearts of your people. Holy Spirit, you can do that for us, so we pray that you'll do that one more time. And I pray by the time that we leave tonight, we will be strengthened and encouraged and to know that you are able, Lord, to do many things in our life on our behalf for your honor and your glory. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Jude, this morning we spoke from Jude, verse number 20 and 21. And we spoke about living right in a wrong world. Living right in a wrong world. Of course, the book of Jude has to do with those who are false teachers, those who have brought about a wrong message into the world. And we won't go into all the ins and outs of that other than saying that in verse number 4, deals with part of their goal. They crept in unaware and they were turning and attempted to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And they denied the power thereof or denied the only Lord God in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we said that they had a form to themselves. In verse number 12 says that they were clouds without water. And that they were trees without fruit. And they had nothing on the inside. They had nothing that was giving life to them. They are a people that brings death and that brings corruption through a wrong message. And that is those that are false teachers. But in verse number 20, we began this morning and we said, and we called attention to the first two words. It says, but ye. And we know that it was Jude who was challenging us to live right in the middle of all of this chaos, in the middle of all of the false teachings and all of the great wickedness that was taking place during those times and times to come. So we started a message this morning, and we were talking about living right in a wrong world. We mentioned the call to live right this morning, and that is that we are to be salt, and that we're not to lose our savor. And we know that chemical component, salt, will not lose its savor, but salt can lose its effectiveness if it's contaminated with other things. And we know that we can be contaminated with the world if we're not careful, and therefore we can lose our savor, not our salvation, but our influence. And so we talked about the call to live right. And then we talked about the cost to live right. And we mentioned this morning that if we're going to live right, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us our own will or our freedom individually. And what I mean by that is we get the idea from Jesus when he was in the garden. And as he was praying in agony and He felt the weight of sin upon his shoulders, and he looked into that cup, as it were, and said, "Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done." And so he was surrendering to the lordship of his Father. And that's the same calling that we all have tonight, is that we're to surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And there was a cost if we're going to live right. And that is the freedom of our own will for his will. But the other part of that cost we talked about this morning, it has to do with our social standing. Whenever we strive to live right and to raise our flag up, as it were, as a Christian, and say, "I'm going to be accounted for Jesus," sometimes it'll cost you your social standing. When you begin to talk about Jesus on the job or at school, in public, it's not received well most of the time. And the reason being is because we're living in a world where there's darkness, and men are calling light darkness and darkness light. And so when you draw the line in the sand and you say, "This is where I stand and this is what the Bible says," well, then much of the time it will not be received well from the world. But nonetheless, this is a cost of living right. It'll cost us our own will and freedom. It'll cost us social standing. There's the call to live right. We're to be salt. We're to let our light shine into this old dark and dying world. But then we concluded the message this morning with a point that has to do with the course to live right. The call, the cost, but then the course. And in verse number 20, we looked at some things where it says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." We mentioned that the course in living right has to do with building up ourselves in verse 20 within the Word of God and by the Word of God. He says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we know that our faith is built up through the reading and heeding of God's Word. We know it's in the pages of God's Word where He has His promises to us. And we mentioned this morning that, you know, we read the promise and the surety that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And so that when we go through times where we felt like we're all alone or we're abandoned, that's when the Word of God is able to build us up in our faith, because we know He hasn't left us. And we know He hasn't forsaken us. And on we go with different promises that we can claim in God's Word. But we said that we're able to live right because we're building up ourselves in a most holy faith according to God's Word. We went on and we mentioned that we're to pray in the Holy Ghost, just simply meaning that prayer is important. And when we walk with the Lord and we yield to Him, then we will have the petitions that He desires. When we go to pray to the Father through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus being our intercessor, we know that we're praying the right things because we're walking with Him. We're talking with Him. We are praying in the Holy Ghost. We're praying in accordance to the Holy Ghost. We're praying by His power. We're praying by His leadership because we're doing our very best to walk with the Lord. And so these are just a couple areas in verse number 20 when it comes to living right in a wrong world. And then we concluded in verse number 1 where the Bible says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Verse 21 deals with operating out of love. We're living in a time where there's much anger, there's agitation, there's also fear and worry and dread. And it'd be easy to rail against or revenge against those who don't know God, who talk about God, who defile the name of God. It'd be easy to want to lash out against them. But nonetheless, we are called, if we're going to live right, if we're going to end our battle well, we want to have to operate out of love. He says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God. We need to abide in His love. What kind of love does He have? Well, the Lord has an unconditional love, an agape kind of love. The love that is unconditional and the love that comes from God the Father down to us. And so if we're going to make this race and we're going to win victoriously, we're going to have to operate out of love. And of course, he concludes in verse 21, he says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. If we are going to live right in a wrong world, we must long for His coming or look for His coming. And we're looking for His coming because we're ready for His coming. Indeed, if we are, we will be looking for His coming. Not long ago, we on a Wednesday night, we shared some thoughts out of verse number 22 and 23. I want you to notice in verse number 22 and 23, we have a subject of how to make a difference. In verse number 22, he says, and some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. He speaks of making a difference in these in this wrong world, in this bad world, because of the people, in the crime, in the corruption. How do you make a difference in this world? Well, he says in verse number 22, there's one way to make a difference, and that is through showing compassion. Compassion. Sometimes all it takes to make a difference is having compassion on someone. You know, sometimes all it takes is just one kind word at the right time. Like the writer of Proverbs says, a word fitly spoken. Talking about apples of gold and pitchers of silver and how that one word at the right time left for someone can do someone great good. Talking about a life of compassion. And the Bible tells us to live a life and show the love of Jesus through truth and deed. Through truth and deed. And so we've seen that one way to make a difference in this world is through having compassion. But then there's another way in verse number 23, and that is through caution. There's a crowd that you can help by having compassion on, but then there's another crowd that doesn't respond well to compassion, but they respond better or in a different way to heeding caution. Look what he says in verse 23. He says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. He says, well, some people, all you have to do is have a little compassion. Brother or sister, we love you. We're praying for you. Lost person over here, over there, you know, we're praying for you. It looks like you're having a hard day. Is there anything we can do for you to make your load lighter? Compassion. But then there's other times where you have to go beyond compassion. You have tried to be compassionate to someone. You have tried to love them to Jesus. You have shown them mercy after mercy, and yet they still haven't came to church as you have invited them to come. They still haven't said yes to Jesus. They still haven't quit their pernicious ways, their very hard, damaging ways. They still haven't even tried to turn over a new leaf. They've done nothing. And so sometimes there's a time and place where you have to save with fear. In other words, you have to drop the compassion and use the caution. Say, listen, there is a hell to shun and there is a heaven to gain. And so there's times where there has to be a heart-to-heart with people. And there's times where there has to be a, let's pull up a chair and talk by the fire in the living room kind of deal. Where you get honest with people. And you tell them that, hey, listen, you're going down a wrong path. I want to let you know that if you do not turn your life around, there are bad things on your horizon. And that's the truth tonight. For someone who's going down the wrong path and someone who's going down the wrong road and does not heed the warning signs, there is nothing but tragedy. There is nothing but tears and setback and what could have been. So whoever you are tonight that does not respond well to compassion, let me just tell you, you need to take heed to God. You need to turn your life around. You need to trust Jesus for salvation. You need to go to church and you need to listen to Him. Listen to those who are in your life who are speaking truth to you. Because compassion hasn't helped you, whoever you are. Now the Lord is using caution in your life. I think about some old friends I used to have and how that even as of late I've heard from some of them. At least I've seen some updates. Some people have told me on their Facebook pages and how this one had just got out of jail and there was a funeral service for this one. And I think about the times, especially one guy that I used to run with, and his name was last name Poole, lives in Austell. And I remember when I first got saved, I went by his house and I had a certain song, Brother Harold, that I used to listen to when I first got saved. I can't remember who it was by, but every time I listened to it, it was a Christian song. Every time I listened to it, it made me cry. I just cried and cried. I thought about him. And I went by there one night and I said, Chris Poole's his name. I said, Chris, I said, man, why don't you come outside for a minute with me? Let's talk about some things. And so we went outside and we sat on the trunk of the car. And that was a time ago. And we sat on the trunk of the car and I played that song. And I literally just wept with him. I said, Chris, why don't you just get saved, man? He said, Justin, I know I need to get saved. I know I need to give my life up to the Lord. I said, well, what's holding you back? I said, you see how the Lord's changed my life. And I believe I was 22 at the time, 21, when we had this conversation. And I can remember him saying, well, Justin, you know, I just don't have anything to wear to go to church. I got to thinking, yeah, that's about right. That's what the devil uses. People to think they got to have some kind of nice outfit or clothes to wear to church to go to church. I said, man, listen, none of those things matter. I said, Chris, you know the life that I used to live. I said, you explain to me how in the world that my life totally changed. And now I'm going to church and listening to gospel music. You explain to me how that happened. He said, well, I guess God did it. I said, don't you want God to do that for you? And he just started weeping. And crying. I said, man, listen. I said, won't you just give your heart to Jesus? And he says, I want to. And have you ever been to that place with someone where there's just an intersection where something's not working? And since then, I read an update the other day about things in his life. And since then, his grandmother's passed. So a family member has been incarcerated. And yet to this day, he has still not, to my knowledge at least, yielded his life to the Lord for salvation. And you wonder, how many more cautions does he have to take? How many more times to go to the jailhouse and be bailed out? And how many more funerals he got to go to? And so my approach to him has been and will be the next time I talk to him, Chris, you need to give your life to Jesus. You're going to go to hell one day if you don't do that. You're going to miss His purposes in your life. His purpose for you in your life is not to sit on the front porch and watch the sun come up and the sun go down and be a lost person aimlessly wandering around this world. That's not your purpose. I said all that to say this. That is one kind of way to make a difference. It is an approach to someone's life is to use caution. He says in verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. He says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And what he's talking about is the motivation of the one that is speaking to the other one, trying to show caution to, trying to pull them out of the fire. They hate the fact of what the flesh can do to self. He said, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. He's saying this, Judas saying, listen, part of your motivation to make a difference ought to be, you know what the flesh can do. You know what the devil can do. You know what all of these things can do. And so let that be part of your motivation, is to help someone, convert someone by the power of God, knowing what the flesh can do to somebody. Doesn't that tonight, in some measure, really motivate you to want to help somebody to Jesus, knowing what the flesh can do? Do you know someone tonight? Is there someone close to you that you have witnessed what the flesh and sin and the devil can do in someone's life? I've witnessed that. I've beheld that. And behold that. And we see it. We see it on the news every morning. We see it in our communities, what the flesh can do, what the devil can do, and what sin can do. But I have news tonight. There's something God can do. God can save someone. And God can give somebody a purpose in life, can put their feet on a solid rock. And listen, they can be going toward God and overcoming obstacles day by day, in and out, every day of their life, if they would only heed the message. But we serve a God tonight that is able. And that leads me to my message. Look down, if you would, in verse number 24. The Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Tonight I want to speak to you for a few moments on this subject, and that is just, he is able. He is able. I want to say that God is able. He is able to save, and then he is able to save to the uttermost. He is not only able to save, but he is able to keep one saved forever. We serve a God tonight who offers eternal security. And I want to say, if there's ever been a time and place in your life where you called on him by faith, simple trust in his plan of salvation, you are saved. Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Once saved, always saved. If you have truly embraced God's plan of salvation through faith and repentance. But God is able. And we see that tonight. And I want to speak a few moments on that if I could. I do want to say about the book of Jude that in verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, the book of Jude starts in victory. But tonight we see in verse number 24 and 25, the book of Jude ends in victory. And we have a beginning of victory. We have an ending of victory. And that is the Christian life, that we start with Jesus, the victorious one. He saves us, and then he brings us through a lifetime of transitioning, a lifetime of changing, a lifetime of battles, a lifetime of struggles, a lifetime of understanding who he is and growing in our relationship with him, new dimensions of our relationship with him, learning about his grace. We see that in the book of Jude. It starts with victory, and it ends with victory. And all in the middle of the book of Jude, we have false teachers. We have brute beasts. We have corruption. We have battles. We have all of these things. We have error. Verse 11 speaks about error, the way of Cain, the way of Balaam, the gainslaying of Korah, and all of these things. But it starts in victory and ends in victory. That is the Christian life, is a life that starts in victory, but will end in victory. No matter what we go through, we are his sheep of his pasture. We belong to him. Our life will indeed end in victory, no matter how hard the in-between may be. Always remember, church, in these hours of wickedness, in this hour of wickedness, we as believers have victory in Jesus. Notice in verse number 24, "Now unto him that is able." We're not able tonight. We're not able to achieve tonight. We're not able to please Jesus tonight within ourselves. We're not able to overcome battles and We're not able to overcome addictions. We're not able to be faithful to Him. We are not able to do these things. We're not able to produce faith within ourselves to believe God for the impossible. We're not able to come out of the times of depression and discouragement within ourselves. We're not able, but we know one who is able. The Bible says, now unto him that is able. We are not able, but He's able. We serve the one who makes us able. And we see that in verse number 24. He says, now unto him that is able. I want to mention a few things tonight that He can do. And He can do these things for us and through us. And I'm going to do a compiling from various verses. So you can follow along, read along, however you want to do. But we're going to keep it moving along. Number one, He is able to deliver us. You remember the story of Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den. And I title this point, Deliverance from Dens. Deliverance from dens. Places where you feel like there's no way out. Places where you feel like the enemy is definitely going to get you. Places that are dark. Places that are lonesome. Places that are caged in. Daniel was in that place. Daniel chapter number 6 and verse number 23. Throw that up on the screen for us there, fellas. Daniel 6. And I want you to notice in verse number 23 what the scripture says. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in himself. No. Because he believed he could overcome with himself, no. But Daniel was delivered from this den because he believed in his God. He believed that God was one that could deliver him. And listen, we may be in a place that's very dingy and dark. You may be in a place tonight that's very dingy and very dark, but you must believe, number one, that you can't. And number two, you must believe that he can. And if you believe that you can't and you believe that he can and you're in this dark, dingy, dusty place where you feel like you're trapped in, listen, if you are repented up to date, you know him as your Lord and Savior, number one, but then you are confessed up to date. You are repented up to date. You have to believe that God has an ultimate purpose and plan for that deep, dark, dingy den. I can't say that again real fast. If we know Christ as Savior, and we're in a den, and we have been repented up to date, then whatever the den's purpose is, it's for His honor and for His glory. The den that you may be in may be all about the deliverance from the den. Can you think about Daniel for a moment tonight? When he was delivered from that den, he was down in that den, and all of them lions roaring and going after him. Huh? Coming after you. Has the devil ever done that to you before? Just says, I'm coming after you, old boy. I'm coming after you. Hey, you ought to send me to a monkey. I saved that for Sunday nights at home when we get home. We all get settled in. The monkey comes out. Y'all heard of Monkey Joe, Monkey Justin. The times when, and that's what Satan does. I'm coming for you. You ain't got nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. You're in a deep, dark, dungy den, and you're here, and it's dark. Where is your God? That's when you come to the point of saying, Lord, I am not perfect. You know that, but I'm giving you my very best. I've followed you, Lord, and given all of my abilities I believe you've given me. I've done my very best, but it's still dark. It's still dingy. I feel trapped in here. It feels like the devil's going to get me. And it's at that very moment is when you bow your knee and say, Lord, I can't, but you can. And imagine how Daniel felt when he got to the to the end of the stay in the den. And then the king spoke and he was delivered out of that den. And he saw daylight. Think about the praise that went up to him. Think about the glory that was brought to the name of the Lord. Everybody in public said, well, there's Daniel. The one that bowed and prayed in spite of the new law. And as he prayed before, many times he didn't bow. He didn't budge. He stayed with it. Now look at him. He's walking tall. The lions didn't get him. Think about the potential conversions that would be added to the Lord because of Daniel knowing that he couldn't, but God could. Tonight, when we see that God is able, we reflect back on Daniel in the den and how that he had deliverance from this den. He believed that God was able. What kind of den are you in tonight? Is it dark where you're dwelling? Has the devil showed you a conclusion that was crummy? Has the devil showed you and allowed you to see a snapshot of your life of times where you've messed up and blown it and didn't do well and messed up again and blown it, and now he's showing you this and said, here, old boy, God's not going to let you out of this den. And that's when you tell the devil that your sins are nailed to the cross. You're washed in the blood of Jesus. You can't change the past, but God has changed your future. And you know that you're a new creature in Christ. And now you're in a den. You say, devil, this is not my den, but this is God's den. This is where God is going to prove how mighty and strong he is through me. Many times we have to do that. We find ourselves in these dens when we're trapped. But you see, if we belong to Jesus, now unto him that is able, we're not trapped. But it's actually a setup to be delivered. That's what happens in life as a Christian. God will surprise you from time to time. And you'll grow from grace to grace, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. He just leads us along, allowing us to be in situations that are impossible, allowing us to be in situations that are bleak. And then he allows us to transfer the burden from ourselves up to him. And when we do that, the mouths of lions are stopped. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, I'll just give it to you. Verse number 33 is the hall of faith. And there is the heroes of faith here. In Hebrews 11, verse number 33, it talks about the phrases mentioned at the latter part of that verse, speaking of Daniel, stopped the mouths of lions. I want to say something tonight, church. You or myself cannot stop anybody's mouth. We cannot stop the devil's mouth. We cannot stop our flesh. We cannot stop Satan and his satanic plans. But we know one who is able to. The battle is not ours tonight. The battle is the Lord's. And it was said of Daniel that he stopped the mouth of lions. It's because of the faith that he had in his God. And he was delivered from that den. You see, it was faith that got Daniel in that den. And it was faith that got him out of that den. And it's the same thing for us. Faith gets us into trials and testings from the Lord. And then faith gets us out of those trials and testings. Because the Lord wants to refine our faith. And so that's what he does tonight. When we run up against the lions of this world, God has given us opportunity to see his ability. And so we see that he's able to deliver. But then in 2 Corinthians 9, in verse number 8, he is able to make grace abound. He is able to make grace abound. 2 Corinthians 9 for just a moment. I want you to notice something here. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You know what that says? That just simply says that God is able to strengthen you. God is able to endow you with the amount of grace that you need, strengthen you, allow you to operate out of his grace. being all sufficient by his grace, that you may abound in every good work. Anything God wants you to do, God will enable you to do it. Anywhere God directs you, anywhere that God wants you to be, you can say yes to Jesus, because it's not you that does it, it's the Lord. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You know, the Bible says, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, death passed upon all men for all of sin. But you know what? He goes on and talks about grace. Where sin abounded, get this, grace did much more abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What does that mean? How does that play out in our life? It just simply means that man messed this thing up, but guess what? There is ample amount of grace to save man from which he messed things up, but then there was ample amount of grace to make man serve God acceptably. Abound in grace, all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Plenty of grace for everyone tonight to serve the Lord acceptably, wherein you may be called. We see that he is able to make grace abound wherever you are, whatever you're doing in life. You're following him. You're trusting him. You're in a situation. You're in a den. Guess what? Grace is as though a rope is thrown into the den. And you're in the den. And grace can be a picture, and faith can be a picture of that rope, of a rope coming into the den. And you grabbing hold of that rope. Faith will allow you to overcome. Grace will allow you to abound. And so we see tonight that we're able through God's grace. And so he is able to make grace abound. But then in Ephesians 3:20, he is able to do abundantly. He is able to do abundantly and above. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think in Christ Jesus, according to the power that worketh within us. You see, God has given us through the Holy Spirit the power. I labeled next to this point here, able to do abundantly, I labeled this, think big. Because you see, it's God that is able to do more than we think. Lord, I just want to get through the day. God is able to do much more for you than you just merely surviving a mundane Monday. God is able to do more than that for you. I think sometimes we operate below our privileges. We sell our own self short. Because God is able to do exceeding, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. If he wants us to do something, he will create the power. He will give the desire. If he's wanting us to think big, listen, we can think big. We serve a big God, and he's able to do it exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Think big tonight. Our God is able. And so let's not sell ourselves short. We're just merely trying to survive through another day, one step closer to the to the weekend, so to speak. But let's think big tonight. Let me give you another one. He's able to subdue in Philippians 3:21, just a moment. Notice what he says, Philippians 3:21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. If that doesn't help, I don't know what will. We serve a God tonight that is able to subdue. Everything is in subjection to him. Everything. Just so happens tonight, if you're saved, he's your father. And so if our father is in control of everything, and everything is subject to him, everything is under his feet, as it were, we can honestly say that the things that are over our head are under His feet because they're in subjection to Him. And so that means that during these times of life where we're straining at gnats, little problems, but we're fretting over big problems, myself included, and there's the den situations, because everything is subdued to Him under His feet, we really don't have nothing to worry about. Like the old saying goes, what's over our head is under His feet, and that's true tonight. We may be worrying about something that the Lord has already walking on. And so we can walk on what we're worrying as long as we understand He's already walking on it. What our Father does, we can claim as well. We can walk on our problems as He's walking on them. Let me mention another thing. Back in the book of Jude, notice if you would, verse 24 again. He is able to deliver. He is able to make grace abound. He is able to do abundantly. He is able to subdue. Then He is able to keep us from falling. Verse 24. I got these new glasses on. They're giving me triple vision up here. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. He is able to keep us from falling. He is able to keep us from falling into eternal hell. And that is through the accepting of what He did on the cross. His death, burial, and resurrection. We accept that. And we believe that with faith and repentance, we're not going to hell. And so therefore, this is a present tense word. That means that we're never going to hell. He is able to keep us from falling. But then, not only falling into hell, but falling into sin as well. We serve Jesus. We live for Him. We understand that we're not able to live a righteous life. We're not able to hit the bullseye of His holiness. But God already has. And we have the Holy Spirit, and He enables us to yield ourselves to Him. And when we yield ourselves to Him, slowly and surely and steadily, we mature and we grow and we learn, and He is able to keep us from falling into sin. He's able to keep us from falling into hell at salvation. And then lastly, not only able to keep us from falling, but able to present us faultless. We are counted, look what He says in verse 24 again, that latter part. He says, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. We, as it stands now, who are saved, who have accepted His Son, we are faultless. We may err from the truth. We may have times of doubt. But if He is our Savior, it doesn't change our standing with God the Father, because we belong to Him. God the Father looks upon us through God the Son, and He sees the righteousness of God through the Son. And so we're faultless. And He's able to present others faultless, who may be here tonight that's dirty with unrighteous rags, who have never trusted Him as their Savior. Tonight you can come and He can wrap His robe of love around you. He can present you with a golden ring, and He'll kill the fatted calf, and He will feed you from His table. You see, God has a way of presenting us faultless. Doesn't matter what I do, although I don't want to do bad. I have a desire to do right. I have a desire for holiness. There are going to be times where I falter. I may not say the right thing. I may not handle the right situation the right way. I may drop the ball. There's going to be times. There has been times. I'm still faultless before Him. The devil could try to bring up my past. He could try to bring up the situation that I just failed at. But I will bring up his future, because he's going into his own lake of fire. I am faultless. You are faultless. because if you're saved, you have trusted Jesus. You are faultless. Let me ask you a question tonight. The thing that you did today or the thing that you did last week, and your joy is robbed from you tonight because you're beating yourself up about it. You are kicking around that old square block of guilt and you won't stop. If you are saved, if there has been a time and place in your life where you trusted Jesus as your Savior through faith and repentance, God must be speaking to somebody tonight. Let me say that many times. If you've done that, you do not have to kick around a block of guilt over your sin. You do not have to self-condemn yourself. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not of the flesh but after the Spirit. If it's natural for you to go after the things of God, you know God. And so when you falter, when you fail, listen, you don't have to feel guilty over that. Yes, we learn how to fortify ourselves. But God's wrath is not upon you. He's not looking to hit you with a lightning bolt when you falter or fail. You're faultless. You're free. Learn from your mistakes and move on. Come to the house of God, rejoicing as a believer that is covered in God's righteousness. And don't allow guilt and shame to bog you down. And listen, only this happens over time when we learn how to do that. We learn how to recognize what we have in Jesus and who we are in Him. As Proverbs says, he says, a righteous man falls 7 times and riseth up again. We have to get to that place where when we do falter or fail, we say, Lord, I do repent of my sin. I repent of my struggle. I repent that I didn't handle it the right way. But Lord, allow my joy to still remain and allow me to understand that I'm faultless before you. And you can go on and not miss a beat. Lastly, we see that he's able to present us faultless, meaning that we are counted righteous. He says, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We are counted righteous already, faultless already. And positionally we are, our relationship with God, those that know him. But then one day, we will be presented faultless before him. In the book of Ephesians, and we'll end with this, Ephesians 5. I want you to see something here in Ephesians 5:25. He is, Ephesians 5, verse number 25 to 27. And he's talking about his relationship with the church, and he mentions and uses husbands and wives here to liken that. He says in verse number 25 of Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Look at verse number 27. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. One day we're going to be presented faultless, spotless before God in heaven because of what we accepted here. We're faultless now, and we can grasp that to overcome our struggles, but then one day we're going to be presented faultless. Not anything that we've done, but what he done by the day that we call on his name for salvation. And what a day that's going to be. A day of rejoicing. A day of reunion. A day of reward or loss of reward. And so this evening, as we stand to our feet, maybe you want to come this evening and say, Lord, I don't feel faultless. Allow the Lord to speak to your heart tonight. Maybe you need to get saved, or maybe you're already saved and you just need to be reminded that of the righteousness of Jesus. Whatever the case is, whatever you may need, God is able. So you come as we sing. Anybody tonight?
And know my heart today.
He is able. We're not able, but He's able.
Oh, Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be
anybody? Appreciate your attention tonight. It was a good service this evening. I was thinking about, in fact, during preparation of the message, that Brother Tommy Steele, probably on more than one occasion down at the Smoky Mountain Gospel Jubilee, this is when we went, and then Ford Road went, and he preached on